Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today, we'll discuss the article by Xiang et al. Titled Obesity and Orthopedic Trauma. This article published online ahead of print October 14, 2011. My guests today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, First Author Lucia Xiang, and Leading Expert Jeff Frisby. Let's get started.
Thank you, Cara. In this study, the authors looked at the effect of hemorrhage combined with orthopedic trauma on the recovery then from this repeated blood loss. The reason they were interested in this is that there is evidence that obese patients with severe orthopedic trauma and hemorrhage have a higher risk of mortality and morbidity compared to non-obese patients. However, the mechanisms responsible for the exaggerated impact of shock and obesity are really unknown. And so this study examined hemodynamic responses to hemorrhage in obese and lean Zucker rats to determine potential mechanisms underlying this increased susceptibility. The data supported their hypothesis, and the overall conclusion was that the obese rats subjected to trauma and hemorrhage have a severely delayed recovery in blood pressure, and that it's mediated through an increased function of the ATP-sensitive potassium channels. So Jeff, would you like to open this up by giving us what you thought were the high points and the low points of the study?
I thought the high point of the study was generally just how interesting it is and how relevant it might be toward clinical treatment and clinical therapy for patients with an elevated BMI suffering blood loss based on a trauma injury, such as a car crash. My greatest concern with the study is that there are some things that seem to be slightly contrary. The loss of tone and the relative state of hypovolemia in the Zucker rat and how those things allow sort of any maintenance of blood pressure.
Lucia, I wondered if you could comment on the relevance of this particular vascular bed and how you think that relates to whole body hemodynamics.
Our study actually suggests that response to the hemorrhage and orthopedic trauma are both global. To determine the hemodynamic responses in different organs, including the vital organs, should be important for future studies.
Lucia, so one of the things that we found in our previous study was that there appear to be alterations in the way the entire body or the whole animal handles blood loss in the Zucker rat. Differences between the skeletal muscle circulation, differences between the renal circulation, and then most importantly, it appears the splanchnic circulation, where responses in the skeletal muscle appeared to be accentuated, although responses in the splanchnic circulation were blunted and they were unable to help elevate pressure and prevent decompensation. I'm wondering if, based on those previous data, if you might have any insight into what's going on in your study.
We did not measure the hemodynamic response in the whole body. But I think it's the vasomotor response to the sympathetic activation or the circulating inflammatory mediators could be different in the different vascular bed. What I think is that what we observed in the spongy piece of muscle and the attenuated adrenergic constriction may not be exactly the same in the other vascular bed.
So do you believe that the attenuated adrenergic constriction is a problem within that system itself, or do you believe that is a competing effect of the increased level of circulating prostanoids, specifically PGE2 in your case?
I think the arachidonic acid metabolism may be altered in obese Zucker rats following trauma because we propose that there is an increase in vascular COX-2 and due to increased inflammation and could be the possible reason for the elevated PGE2. In addition, we found that after blockade of KDB channels in the obese Zucker with trauma, the phenylephrine-induced vasoconstriction was normalized, suggesting that the adrenergic activity within the vessel is intact. But blockade of KDB channel only partially restored the vasoconstriction during the recovery period after hemorrhage, raising the possibilities for a production of some other KDP channel independent vasodilators or a decreased sympathetic activity and the vasoconstrictor hormones or both.
So one question I did have, Lucia, was potential differences in the Zucker rats between the obese and the lean with regard to this production of prostaglandin E2. What is special about the obese Zucker rat that is not present in the lean that results in an increased production of PGE2 following orthopedic trauma?
Obese patient with orthopedic trauma has a higher inflammation as compared with the lean patient, similar with our result in the lean and obese rats. This might be responsible for the higher levels of PGE2.
Have you been able to measure PGE2 levels or a metabolite of PGE2 in these animals?
We did not measure the PGE2 during hemorrhage conditions.
the obese Zucker rat is relatively hypovolemic with respect to its body mass as compared to the lean. How big a role do you think that is actually playing in their ability to tolerate hemorrhage, and then especially when you add the second insult of trauma?
We found that the blood pressure was still compensated in the control obese Zuckers following a moderate hemorrhage, even though obese Zuckers are hypovolemic. But however, I believe that the blood pressure compensation could fail if those obese Zuckers were treated with a more severe hemorrhage. An experiment I'm doing right now is to determine whether there is an impaired blood pressure recovery following a more severe hemorrhage in conscious obese Zuckers. And the results suggested that it is true, but we have to finish the experiment.
Lucia, the primary difference in your study is that the obese rat, when faced with a trauma, is now subjected to a significant increase in a newly generated circulating dilator, presumably PGE2, which does not impact arterial pressure. However, this does cause a significant dilation of the resistance arterioles and severely impaired responses to progressive hemorrhage. To me, these seem to be somewhat contradictory. How do you envision the global response operating to give you the outcomes in your study?
The basal dilation of the small arterial does not necessarily to alter the blood pressure because of the regulation of baroreflex and probably the different vasomotor effect of PGE2 within different vascular beds. In addition, I think the larger arterial and the small arteries consist most of the TPR, but they have a less vasodilator capability and higher alpha-1 receptor density as compared with the small arterial that we started. So the small arterial dilation in the spongy piece muscle may have a minimal effect on the basal TPR and the blood pressure.
With significant current attention paid to the impact of perivascular adipose tissue, altering normal vascular responses to stimuli, could the presence of PVAT contribute to the poor arteriolar responses to hemorrhage? And is there evidence that perivascular adipose tissue is present in these vessels and can produce the prostanoids implicated in your data, thus making this even a local phenomenon rather than a broadly systemic one?
I think this is a very interesting question. Actually, we have a published study showing that the adipocyte-derived directing factor is also Kv channel-dependent vasodilators and have anti-contractile capability. So it would be very interesting to look at whether they exacerbate the systemic inflammation in obesity following orthopedic trauma.
Do you think this might be a bigger problem at the larger resistance arterioles? Because I know that the distribution of PVAT in the Zucker rat is quite heterogeneous.
It's possible.
And looking then at the impact of this study, and I think one of the great strengths is that it was done in conscious animals. However, this was only 6 hours post-surgery. And I wonder, Lucia, if you could comment on if you think that compromised the prep at all?
Actually, we did some experiment on the rats and waiting for 1, 2, or 3 days and find that blood pressure and heart rate was similar. But the only problem is that if we're waiting for longer, the bleeding speed may change because of the catheter or some other issues. So we have to choose 6 hours.
So looking at this study overall, we'll turn to you first, Jeff. What would you say is the take-home message?
I think the take-home message that I got primarily was with regard to the differential responses in terms of the tolerance, not to hemorrhage so much, but certainly to trauma between the lean and the obese animals, and how the impact of the chronic inflammatory state in the obese animal can really contribute to a negative functional outcome in response to some imposed challenge.
And Lucia, the future direction that you're taking this study, what is the most important next step in looking into the mechanisms of this response?
The first thing I think very interesting direction for our future study is that to determine besides PGE2, is there any other vasodilators or other mechanism that cause the attenuated adrenergic response? And in addition, we will also look at the hemodynamic response in other vascular bed.
In conclusion, then, this study suggests a potential mechanism for the poor prognosis of obese trauma victims, and it provides what may be a new therapeutic intervention to improve recovery in this group.
Thanks for listening to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series.